Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades last 2 times longer than other blades. Winter's lousy until, like, we hit summer, right? So use them. Only available at Walmart. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Saints became the first team to clinch a playoff berth this weekend after beating the Falcons 21-16.
What do you make of Taysom Hill?
I make of Taysom Hill that Sean Payton is an excellent coach.
He certainly is.
No, I think Taysom Hill stepped up. I had a lot of questions about whether he was going to be capable of doing this.
Yeah.
And I was really nervous that it was all going to derail. And everyone, myself included, was kind of surprised to find out that he was going to be starting in place of Jameis Winston. And he has gone out there and done everything that they've asked of him.
He's very unique,
but he's winning games and can't take anything away from him. I don't think it's the same situation as it was with Teddy Bridgewater last year.
No, Teddy's a more natural thrower.
Yes, but I can't be critical of him. This is what, like, if he's playing at his highest level, this is what you would expect from him, and that's what he's doing.
By the way, if Jalen Hurts succeeds, there are those who would argue Jalen Hurts is a little bit like Hill. Not a natural great thrower, but can throw it, but can do so many things with his legs. He's such a great athlete that you just kind of win uniquely.
I think we're kind of still
pocket quarterback.
Yeah, we're still adjusting out of that. Not that being a traditional pocket quarterback is a bad thing, but the game has just changed so much.
Yes.
And uniquely, if you're the Saints, who are a great team with a great culture, with a good defense, great coach, great weapons,
yeah,
you don't need an over-the-top performance from your quarterback in order to win. I mean, you're seeing this with the Cleveland Browns. Now, obviously, I'm not comparing them to the Saints. Obviously, the Saints have much more foundation and culture of winning.
But if you go top-bottom roster in the NFL, Saints could be number one. It's about as good a roster as the league has.
Yeah, so Taysom, all Taysom had to do was come in and not mess it up, and he's done much more than that.
Be a great version of Taysom Hill.
Yes, and that's what he's done.
Yeah.
He's had another strong performance. He had the first two touchdown passes of his career, and he rushed for 83 yards. Drew Brees is improving. He threw at practice last week, so there's a chance he could be available next week against the Eagles.
They have a good pass rush. I'd let Taysom play. Philly's got a good pass rush. Don't get him in the crosshairs of that.
I feel like I'm with you. Like I said, Taysom's done everything you've asked of him. Eagles have been playing terribly. You don't know what you're going to get from them week to week, but they do have a good pass rush. So
play him as long as you can.
Yeah, just give Drew another week. They are obviously the top of their division at 10-2. Packers are 9-3. Rams 8-4. And Giants 5-7, atop of the NFC divisions right now. Seahawks, Bucks, and Vikings are in the wild card slots right now. And obviously the Cardinals, 49ers, Bears, and Lions are in the hunt. But it feels like a few of those teams are quite a ways out of it.
Niners got to win tonight.
Yes. So Aaron Rodgers set another personal milestone yesterday. The Packers 30-16 win over the Eagles. He threw 3 touchdowns to reach 400 in his career. He became the fastest quarterback ever to reach that milestone, 400 career passing touchdowns, and the 7th to ever hit that milestone.
When he's getting time to throw, it's beautiful. When he doesn't have pressure, and he had some throws yesterday, he's just sitting around there, and it's just pretty.
I love this. Giving him the 400 passing touchdown. He's having an incredible season, and it's not quiet, but I feel like there's just like 1% of an anxiety about the Packers, and it's not at all because of Aaron Rodgers.
No.
It's just I did not think that they did enough this offseason to fix the issues that they had in the postseason last year. But the way that Aaron Rodgers is playing, they might just be able to overcome that. I mean, their offense, they can flip the field like really just as easily as the Chiefs can. Like they are remarkable. They can score like that. So I think they may be able to make up for the lack of physicality that it feels like they have.
Somebody said this weekend, the reason they play so well when they're ahead is because the other team has to pass, and their pass defense is fine. When Green Bay trails and the other team goes to a physical running game, they don't defend the run well.
Right.
That's why Green Bay plays so well with a lead. Their weakness is we trail and the other team's just pounding the ball on us, and they lost Blake Martinez, who's a tackle machine, and they're not a great run defense. They're just not. It's not what they do. That's not what they do well.
Well, the Fox bet odds for MVP right now, Patrick Mahomes is leading the way at minus 500. Aaron Rodgers is second best odds at plus 450.
Who leads?
Patrick Mahomes.
I think I'd give it to Aaron.
I think I would give it to Aaron too.
I'd give it to Aaron. I'd go Aaron 1, Mahomes 2.
And that's, I mean, Mahomes is having an amazing season as well. I don't know. It's really tough. Russell Wilson and Ben Roethlisberger are tied with the third best odds. Finally. Okay. So.
I don't understand this.
I don't understand this either. I've given it a lot of thought since this news dropped yesterday.
I don't get it.
And I still don't get it. So Floyd Mayweather is getting ready to step back into the ring.
Okay.
I actually thought this was fake. And then I kept seeing it on all of the news sites, and I was like, okay, I guess this is for real. This is a real thing. He announced he'll be fighting Logan Paul in an exhibition match on February 20th.
So that's not the guy who beat up Nate Robinson.
Correct. But I didn't realize that for a few minutes either. Actually, it was like a while.
That fight,
I was very confused.
That fight I'd watch.
Yes, right? So when I saw this news, I was like, oh, okay. I mean, this is still ridiculous. But that was my initial thought, that it was him. No, that's actually Jake Paul. That's his brother.
So
now,
Logan Paul
has fought before. He lost to another YouTuber, KSI.
Oh, hell, I don't want to watch this. That's stupid. So I'm going to watch the greatest fighter pound for pound ever against the guy that lost to a YouTuber.
The greatest defensive fighter in the history of boxing.
To a guy that lost to a YouTuber.
Undefeated record.
I'm not watching it.
Logan Paul's participated in one professional fight, which he lost by split decision.
Now, come on. At least the other Paul won his fight. He's 2-0. This does nothing for me.
I'm going to be clear. I'm going to watch this. But this is... And when I think about, like, overall what it really means, because it's obviously... For me, my first thought was, what could he gain? What could Mayweather possibly gain?
Right? A check.
Obviously, he's going to get a check.
Yeah, big one.
But, and this was my question with McGregor as well. Although, now having watched the McGregor fight, I feel differently because that was actually a legitimately competitive fight. We all know Mayweather's going to win this convincingly, right? Yeah. But it is still boxing. So you're stepping foot in a ring for a check, obviously. And because it's boxing, there's a... let's call it 1% chance that you take a wrong step and this YouTube guy accidentally knocks you out?
I don't think it'll happen.
Of course I don't think it's going to happen. I do not think it's going to happen. I think Mayweather is going to destroy, and I'm putting that lightly. I really feel like this should almost be illegal.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think he's going to destroy him. Like, it could be bad. But there is that 1% chance. So you're literally, if you're Mayweather, you're putting your legacy on the line to fight a YouTuber?
So I think if he loses, people will think it's fixed. That's why he's doing it.
I mean, there's 0% chance he's gonna allow that to happen.
This fight will be so bad.
He'd ruin his undefeated record.
It's one thing if you were a YouTube star and you'd fought a couple times and won both, I'd be intrigued. If you're fighting other YouTubers and losing, I'm out. I refuse to watch. Even if Fox sponsors it, I will protest. It's not watchable.
I will watch because I have to find out what's gonna happen.
All right.
But here's the thing about boxing. Unless you're a purist, the fights are about the story.
That's right.
So people are going to watch this.
Joy with the news.
Incredible. Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Daryl Moose Johnson, decade in the NFL, 3 rings. He is doing today. He's calling today's Washington Steelers game on Fox. So let's bring him in live. He's kind enough to take 10 minutes for us. All right, so I've been kind of getting a lot of hate mail from Steeler fans because I've said, listen, I know the record, but they don't run the ball. Running the ball is really important to keep it away from a Mahomes or keep it away, you know, from an offense that can be electric that you're going to face in the playoffs. When you look at Pittsburgh, is it that they can't run the ball or they're not committed to it? What do you see?
Okay, before I start there, just one name on your last segment, yeah. Apollo Creed. Always remember that, right? Anything can happen. you know what? I'm kind of on board with you on this one, Colin. I went back and watched them play Tennessee Baltimore the first time around back in the middle of October. And one of the things that we've talked to a lot of the teams about this year is complementary football. At that point, I thought Pittsburgh was the best complementary team I've seen in the NFL this season. Now, a lot of that comes from what happened last year with Ben Roethlisberger out of the lineup. The defense was taking the ball away. Special teams was creating field position. The offense last year was able to do that four-minute offense and run that clock out for him. So I think there's a little bit of carryover there from what happened last season. And now with Ben back, you know, the offense has picked up. I think they've moved away from that running game. It's something that's always been a part of Pittsburgh's offense, but it's not there this year. But the big question for me in our game today is you always want to be playing your best football going into the month of December. And Pittsburgh did not play their best football last time out against Baltimore, and they've got a tough stretch here with three games in 12 days. We'll find out how well they're going to play.
So I want to keep it on the NFC East. We're going to talk about Washington, the Giants, and Dallas. Let's start with Washington. I actually think they have a puncher's chance today, and it's interesting. We had no preseason, so you give these coaches you know, new system with Ron Rivera. They've had some chaos at quarterback. Before I get to the Giants, who clearly are on board with Joe Judge. When you watch Washington on film, do you feel like they're getting better? Do you feel like the players are buying in? Do you feel like week to week, do you think they could do a Miami where by the beginning of next year you're like, it's a real football team?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, that six-game stretch that Ron Rivera talked about when he made the switch to Kyle Allen and moved off of Dwayne Haskins, he thought there was an opportunity there to get back into the NFC East. He was very disappointed that they went 3-3 during that stretch. He really felt that they should be on top of the NFC East right now. But he does see the progress. He does see the team getting better. But he wants them to be able to do that from the start of the game. And that's the one area that he's really asking his team to get better at, is start the games faster. We want to walk in. We want to take control of the game and be able to move through the 60 minutes and complete control of that game. Now, that's a huge step when you're talking about a first-year head coach, all the transition that happened within the organization, no traditional offseason. So it's been a gradual progression, but today is the game, and this is something that Alex Smith is excited about. He really wants to see how good they are and how far they have progressed, because the Steelers are going to be a great measuring stick for him, but I think that you're going to be surprised today. I think this is going to be a game that's a little bit closer than a lot of people think.
I do. So when the Giants were 1-7, I'll pat myself on the back. I said, okay, what they are is Miami last year. Like, I see a really good team that's competitive. They just, you know, Saquon Barkley's out. They don't have enough firepower. They're losing close. And all of a sudden now they go from losing ugly early to losing close early to now winning close, which means next year you hope you start to win a few big. What's the secret sauce? When you watch the Giants, a team you know well, what has been the sauce for you? What is the ingredient why players are buying into Joe Judge?
Just having the opportunity to visit with him earlier this season, he's got a presence. He had a plan. He laid it out to the guys. He's very open. He's very transparent about what he wants to do. And learning to win is something that I think a lot of people outside of sports don't understand. When there's transition like they had, you've got to relearn how to win. It doesn't matter what you've done at other stops or other places. That group coming together as a whole has to learn how to win as a team. So it's the exact process that you talked about, losing ugly, losing close, now winning close. You know, when did they take that next step where they can win going away? It was a huge win going out to Seattle yesterday and performing like that. They've built it on the defense. The defense has always been good. The offensive line has gotten better and better and better all season long. So this is the team that you have to watch. And it was really ironic, because coming into this season in the NFC East, everybody thought, well, this is Philadelphia's division. I mean, they're the only one who hasn't had a coaching change, who doesn't have a lot of transition. The other three teams are really going to struggle the way the setup has been done with the offseason program. And when we got through with Washington and New York early, our group decided, you know what, those two teams, even with all the change and the challenges that they've had in the offseason, those two teams could be the two that are fighting out at the end of the year, because those two teams have already bought into what their head coaches are talking about.
Yep.
You could see them all falling in line, and they've showed that all the way through the season. So I think the NFC East comes down to the Giants and the Redskins, and it's going to be hard, because those two games, when I talked about the six games that Ron Rivera was talking about to try and get back in, it was the two losses to the Giants where he elected to go for two instead of kicking it and going to overtime, and then they lost by 3 points in the other one. So 4 points there, you know, gives the Giants the two victories over the Washington football team. So, you know, that will be the separator as we get towards the end of the year.
And finally, it's interesting. Tampa Bay is on a bye week. And so my guess is Arians and Brady, this is a real opportunity during a bye week to kind of get your identity right. Dallas was a mess. They have a bye week and they come out and Moose, different team. Played Pittsburgh close, beat Minnesota. So you tell me, I mean, it was dramatic. Dallas was one team and then another. What happens during – because I always thought you just give guys time off. What happens during a bye week that allowed Dallas, who plays tomorrow, to really kind of – the buy-in was non-apparent to apparent off a bye week?
Well, you know, I really think it was personnel decisions that were made. Dontari Poe was let go. Everson Griffin was traded. Those were two guys who were brought in to be kind of the bedrock of that defensive line. And they were great names, and they've had great careers. But they were not playing to the potential that the Dallas Cowboys expected them to play at. So you made a move right there that got everybody's attention to realize, hey, we're going in a different direction. This is the way we're going to be doing business moving forward. If you're not on board, you're not going to be a part of this. So I think that sent a huge message. And I just think you've seen that defense play a lot better. There's a lot more hustle.
Yes.
You know, that was the big thing to me. There was some fundamental things, not coachable things, just fundamental things that are the responsibility of the guys on the team that weren't being done. There was a lot of talk about it, but there was no action being on the field. Now I think you're starting to see that reaction, and the guys are playing a little bit better. It's a little bit sounder. They're starting to understand Mike Nolan's system, but I think that was the biggest change, was what happened on the defensive side of the ball, and we'll see if they can keep it going. It's going to be tough against Lamar Jackson. You know, you got Alden Smith, Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence. They're going to have a heck of a game protecting those edges, because this is a unique style of running the football, and they're very good at it against virtually every opponent they face.
That Super Bowl ring you're wearing, is it got superpowers? Look at that thing. You got three of those. Now, which one is that, by the way?
This is you know, and I shouldn't do this because it's from against Pittsburgh. I usually don't wear the ones into the home stadiums of the team, but this is the one that really only fits my knuckles because I think I have some arthritis in there now. So
all right.
I committed you know, the big sin of wearing one of the rings to the home team.
Sorry to unveil that live on television.
Yeah, I'm in trouble. I'm not going to get out of here in one piece.
Moose, I always appreciate you stopping by our show. Thanks.
Yeah, good to catch up. Take care.
All right. Best for last. Three-word NFL game. Can you sum up every NFL game in three words? We think you can.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Coming in 2021, U.S. only, Discovery Plus, all the shows you love from your favorite brands like Food Network, Discovery Channel, and more, plus exclusive originals that you can't see anywhere else. Shows flown by today. Appreciate everybody stopping by. We call it the three-word game. When you have to really succinctly describe what happened in each game, you can. Best for last, here we go.
Lions at Bears.
A final straw. Bears blew a 10-point lead in the fourth. Six-game losing streak. Matt Nagy now 13-15, and you can't blame Mitch Trubisky. He played pretty well. Had a quarterback rating of 108.3. Nagy came in as well-liked. Nice guy. Not a ton of experience, and that's a new way to lose. It's not sitting well in Chicago.
Saints at Falcons.
Peyton's place cemented. Sean Payton is the Belichick of offense. 8-0 without Breeze over the last 2 years. Nobody's going to make Taysom Hill look this effective. I'm sorry. Ninth straight win. Taysom Hill's 27-37. And I don't even think Sean Payton would say he's a great thrower. He's a little bit mechanical. So this is just a really smart offensive coach. I mean, this is why Jameis Winston took only $1 million. He said, I want to go to quarterback school. This is where you go to learn how to be a quarterback. The fact they've gone 8-0 without Drew Brees is really a testament to so much about what the Saints do right.
Browns at Titans.
Baker's best half. 20-25, 4 TDs in the first half alone. Also a shout-out, Browns defense held Derrick Henry down. Now, some of that was because the Titans fell so far behind they couldn't run. But Baker played with a lot of poise, good tempo. I mean, he had open receivers, but he hit them. Okay, in recent weeks, he hadn't. So Baker made the throw. That's a great throw right there. His best half is an NFL. It's the highest scoring half, by the way, in Brown's franchise. In the history of the Cleveland. Jim Brown, Otto Graham, it's the highest scoring half ever.
Raiders at Jets.
Inventing new ways. Jets led, 13 seconds left. Greg Williams, who was fired today, called an all-out blitz in a 3rd and 10, gave up a 46-yarder. Derek Carr to Henry Ruggs, who, by the way, Ruggs is just a streak. I mean, he just runs. He's the fastest guy on the Raiders. I mean, give credit to, you know, I mean, Derek Carr hit it. It's open, but no safety help. It's kind of the actually the defense Belichick would not run. This would be the last thing Belichick would do.
Jaguars and Vikings.
Don't blame Cousins. Kirk overcame a 10-point deficit in the third quarter. Second straight week, he's done that. Hey, he has thrown three touchdown passes in each of the last three games. Longest streak of his career. So Minnesota's got seven new defensive players, a lot of them young. This is not a Kirk Cousins thing. He's got a ceiling, but Kirk's not the issue why they're struggling to get past Jacksonville.
Bengals at Dolphins.
Tua be determined. Tua was okay. Hasn't thrown a pick yet, so he makes good decisions. We knew he was accurate. Yesterday, he threw for 296 yards. They asked him to make more throws yesterday. And we're still kind of figuring out what he is. Not as dynamic as some young other quarterbacks, but, again, does Flores, and this may be what Flores believes. My defense and special teams are going to win games. Just give me Drew Brees. Just give me a guy who's accurate, smart, doesn't throw picks, and is poised. I don't need to have Mahomes. For the record, that's won a lot of games in this league. That wins a lot of games. May not win a lot of Super Bowls, wins a lot of games.
Colts at Texans.
Same old South. It's a goofy division. Deshaun Watson had the ball, 2-yard line, buck 28 to go, fumbled. The best team doesn't win this division. Just the grease fire at the lowest temperature. It's so many games blown in this division. I thought I liked Tennessee until the first half. I don't like anybody in this division. Really, there are halves I like them. There are weeks I like them.
Rams at Cardinals.
Murray missing magic. Third straight loss. Season low in first downs. Arizona never had the ball in this game. This may have been the most lopsided time of possession game this year. The Rams had the ball 39 minutes. Cardinals had it 21. So, I mean, if you turn this, I watched the whole game, but if you turn it on occasionally, Arizona never had the ball. DeAndre made a couple of decent throws, but didn't have a lot of first downs, was inconsistent, didn't really play very well in the first half. Now, some of this is, I'll say it again, Rams have the best secondary in the NFL. It is their young guys are excellent. Jalen Ramsey's got all the smoke. So this is a really, really good defense. And Kyler Murray, in fairness, is still a young quarterback. It's not a defense you want, especially when you trail. To play this defense when you got to throw and you're trailing, that's no good for anybody.
Giants at Seahawks.
A giant statement. Held the Seahawks to 17 points. First Seattle home loss of the year. When you win with a backup against Russell Wilson, I think the Giants are really good. So they went from losing big to losing close to now winning close. To me, they're Saquon Barkley and a receiver away from being a handful. Really, as I think it's an upset. I don't think it's as giant an upset as everybody thinks. I think Giants are pretty good.
Patriots at Chargers.
Herbert deserves better. Listen, the Chargers special teams had the wrong number of players on the field five separate times. I mean, come on. You got to get the players on the field right. It just looked like a disorganized mess. And let's not mess around with coordinators. Let's go get a head coach. Let's spend some money on this thing. Everybody in LA is winning. USC's unbeaten. Lakers are winning. Dodgers are winning. Rams are winning. You're already invisible in this town. Go spend money on Urban Meyer, Lincoln Riley, Brian Kelly, Belichick. Make an offer. Get this thing right.
Eagles at Packers.
Man, that hurts. Jalen Hurts. He's probably going to get the start this week. Listen, even if he's the solution, it doesn't solve the issue, which is you're going to pay your backup quarterback, Carson Wentz, $35 million. I don't know what to do. He looked pretty good. Jalen Hurts stepped into a couple of sacks. A couple of times he hadn't had enough snaps. The bullets are flying. It's live football. But he made a nice throw there. He moves. That's a nice throw. Can't get worse, so why not? I mean, seriously, you draft him in the second round, not an eighth-round pick. Might as well play him. I mean, this year's in the toilet, so play them. See what you got.
Broncos at Chiefs. Broncos.
Winning in sleep. Chiefs have not won by more than 6 points in any of their last four games. I didn't think it was close last night, to be honest with you. The Tyreek Hill play, I'd never seen that before. It's weird. They're really good. My three-word game was going to be Chiefs are good. They do everything. They don't play with a ton of urgency, and I think all you fans know that. That's what they don't do.
They're the Warriors with Kevin Durant. It almost looks too easy, and that becomes a mental block. By the way, Mark Schlereth had that Giants-Seattle game, which was an upset. I don't think it was as big an upset as we think. And when you have a defensive line controlling an offensive line, it makes inferior teams really competitive. And I just watched the mock draft the other day, and they had the Giants taking another defensive lineman with one of their picks, and I'm like, okay. That's just getting the San Francisco feel, where you just – people can't block you. You got four or five people, they just can't. Leonard Williams, by the way, is playing great. Much better Giant than he was a Jet. Dexter Lawrence is great. They got him in the OBJ trade. Mark Schlereth was talking about why the Giants have become so difficult to deal with.
The Giants are going to win this division because they are so physical up front. But I will tell you where they have gotten so much better. Jason Garrett continues to call the run. They did nothing in that first half offensively. Guess what happened? They bludgeoned the Seahawks, who had the third best run defense in football in the second half. That's an offensive coordinator that adheres to what the game plan is, right? They are the most complex, the most disguised back end defense that I have watched all year on film. This is a much improved football team under Joe Judge.
So for the record, he said it's the most disguised defensive team. Well, that's what they say about Belichick. That Belichick, when the ball is snapped, the defense changes. And that's why young quarterbacks struggle. I mean, it's amazing to watch Belichick. On Friday in Blazing 5, we just said, Belichick, young quarterback, I'll take Bill. I mean, that's literally, there are like two or three rules in the NFL. Andy Reid off a bye, always take Andy Reid off a bye. Belichick against the young quarterback, and Sean Payton can win with a backup quarterback. Those are the three rules in coaching. Andy off a bye, Bill against the kid, and Peyton with a backup quarterback. Like, it's been established. Rush Limbaugh is conservative. Rachel Maddow is liberal. There's no reason to argue. It's been established. We know that. I don't understand people that argue stuff that you know. I am so mad that this person takes that position. Well, that's what they do. That's who they are. Well, you just figured it out. Sports Illustrated covers sports. Not like hunting and fishing and boating. That's why you buy the magazine and complain. You know, it's not Car and Track. No, that magazine's called Car and Track. When people, like, we have stuff that in the NFL, there's no reason to argue it anymore. Take Andy Reid off a bye. He's going to win almost all of them. By the way, rectechwithaq.com, built by grillers for grillers. Go big, stainless steel build this holiday season. You can turn the grill on from your phone. You can cook from your phone. For John and Joy and everybody here, thanks for joining us on a Monday. Be safe. It's The Herd.